Years of controversy already surround the ambitious plans to develop one of the world's biggest coal mining regions in Queensland's Galilee Basin. Green groups, mining interests, politicians have been battling it out on the national stage. But what does it mean for local communities, for their livelihoods and their expectations for economic opportunity? We decided to focus on this a bit and spend some time with those most directly affected by the proposed projects to get their concerns and hopes, hear them firsthand. Our reporter Cathy Van Exstel has been out on the road for you, and in the first report in this series this week, she's visited the port at Abbott Point, which is about half an hour's drive north of Bowen, where she looked at the facility and the areas that will feel the impact of the proposed port expansion.
We're in four-wheel drive mode.
Yes. So this is called Abbott Hill. So we're going around the edge of where the surge bins are. And so at the top of this hill is where the navigation lights
are. Just north of Bowen, Abbott Point is Australia's most northerly deep-water coal port. In 2011, Indian company Adani paid the Queensland government $1.8 billion for a 99-year lease of the terminal and has ambitious plans for its expansion. Adani refused RN permission to visit its site, but North Queensland Bulk Ports Corporation agreed to an escorted visit to the port surrounds on condition questions were limited to operational matters. Grant Gaston, NQBP's Senior Manager of Port Development, was my tour guide. A safety alarm goes off on one of six massive stacker reclaimers, capable of delivering up to 8,000 tonnes of coal an hour. Towering nearly 30 metres high, the machines stack coal from trains in kilometre-long rows before scooping the coal from the stockpiles for delivery to ships via 3-kilometre-long conveyors. Adani has the most advanced of 9 Galilee Basin projects. The contention around Adani's port plans centre on the expansion of the ship terminals. At the foot of Abbott Hill, crystal clear ocean water laps the beach. There's no sign of the resident turtle, but there's a good view of the site for the proposed new two-berth terminal. We're standing near where the pipe carrying offshore dredging material will hit the shore.
You can see the existing wharves that are just offshore, and they're about 3 kilometres off the coast. The new location where the T0 Adani wharves will be to the east, and the length of those two wharves will be how far it extends out. So the two stages of the T0 expansion will be 750 metres long, and so the dredging for those berth pockets is around that length.
So looking at out to sea now, next to Terminal 1, is the dredging area. How will it be brought onshore to this point where we are here now?
So the benefit of the project as it's now set up is that there's a cutter suction dredge. It's a stationary dredge that pumps the material from the seabed along a pipeline that runs from the offshore location where the cutter suction dredge is all the way through this facility that we're standing now. So it'll come up just over on the beach through there, and the pipeline will run through the terminal to the dredge ponds that sit on the western side and the industrial land adjacent to the existing terminal.
Until a few years ago, Abbott Point was just another stunning beach in far north Queensland. But the wetlands behind Abbott Point were always something special.
Abbott Point has been the centre of a highly effective international campaign by green groups opposed to the Galilee Basin coal mines. Original plans to dump dredge spoil into the ocean, then on land in the Kalee wetlands, were scuppered as political pressure mounted. Late last year, the federal government gave the nod, with strict conditions, for the dredge spoil to be pumped 4 kilometres to purpose-built ponds on land adjacent to the wetlands.
Wrap it around, Velcro up the back. So what I'm putting on is gaiters, and it's to provide protection from snake bite. We have a lot of grassland and we have a lot of snakes, and some of those are actually quite venomous snakes.
No sign of snakes, but it's very dry in the wetlands. Just one small patch of water with a few birds. When it does rain, it's a significant bird sanctuary. And for environmentalists, the ponds that will hold the dredging material are still too close. That's also a concern of local group Whitsunday Residents Against Dumping, which was formed by Airlie Beach resident Kirsten Grace.
Airlie's main industry is based around tourism. So we're talking about 69,000 jobs up and down the Queensland coast that are potentially at risk if this sort of project is to go ahead.
Adani still faces one more hurdle for its port project. Under state law, public consultation is underway for a material change of use ruling. This could also be open to judicial review from activists aiming to further delay Adani's plans. Kirsten Grace is urging her members to lodge objections to the current dumping plans.
The community consultation is open until the 27th of January, so we're urging all of our supporters and members to actually put in submissions.
Have you been attached to any of the legal challenges along the way?
No, RAD hasn't been as to date, but if that is what it comes down to, then yes, we will do that.
How many members have you got?
We have around 1,800. It's quite a few people for a small area.
Hi, Terry, are you? Good.
It's not only tourism operators worried about a possible impact on their livelihoods. Commercial fishermen are in a battle with government about the loss of fishing grounds at the site of the proposed second port terminal. Bowen-based Terry Must is director of Arabon Seafoods.
So we're a fishery stable depot. I'm also a fisherman. I go back to sea week after next, and then we unload trawlers. Deep water boats that fish out in 1,000 metres of water. We've got mud crabs coming here. Yeah, there's crabs.
The state government insists there are no high-value fisheries in the area. This is despite a 2008 Fisheries Department report mapping prime fishing grounds at the proposed port terminal site.
We have an important scallop fishery at Abbott Point, right in front of the jetty itself. We have a tiger prawn fishery, then we have the king prawn and the bug fishery just adjacent to that also. We have 100 tonne of Spanish mackerel caught in that area 2 years ago. We just want to do tomorrow what we're doing today. It's as simple as that.
So what your concern is that once the project goes ahead, that you'll lose fishing grounds?
Definitely, yeah. Although they've said that even though they're going to park more ships there, we'll be able to drive around them. And that's not the case. You know, you're going to have ships coming and going, and it's going to be dangerous.
Is it simply just a case of relocating yourself so that you can access what you're getting now in another spot?
That's the trouble. That's what we call displaced fishing effort. We didn't ask for compensation, we wanted offsets. The offsets being buy out some trawling effort.
With the EIS and with the conditions that are in place, is there any accommodation for fishing?
Nothing. You know, you've got to understand how the fisheries work, and we're really the only ones that know the paddock that we're talking about.
Terry Must says he's not opposed to the coal projects, but he's worried about long-term job losses in his industry.
This project has definitely got to go ahead for the good of this town and every other town right out to the Gatling Basin, but it's got to be managed properly. And we just don't get any acknowledgement at the moment and have not done in the 5 years.
That's Terry Must, a concerned fisherman from the Bowen Basin. He's from Arabon Seafoods. Ending that report from Cathy Van Extel, and all this week we'll bring you Cathy's reports from the Galilee Basin, including a push basically to develop the coal fields. That's a story tomorrow. Cathy's going to take a look at the toll that's been taken on the community of Bowen as the projects continue to be delayed.